Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasatim vyasam. Tato jaya mudiraye. Can everybody please move forward? Come in close, leave no gaps. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu, text number 9. Shri Shuka Uvacha Bhagavan Pitachutra Prahasya Karadhir Nirpa Tushnim Babhuva Sadasi Sabyascha Tad Anuvrataha Shri Shuka Uvacha Bhagavan Pitachutra Prahasya Daga Prahasya Gada Dirnirpa Tushnim Papuva Sadasi Sabyascha Tad Anuvrataha Shri Shuka Uvacha Bhagavan Pitachutva Prahasya Gadagdir Nripa Tushnim Babhuva Sarasi Sabyascha Tad Anuvrataha Shri Shuka Uvacha Shri Shukadev Goswami said Bhagavan, Lord Shiva, Api, also, Tat, that, Shutva, hearing, Prahasya, smiling, Agadadhi, whose intelligence is unfathomed, Nripa, O King, Tushnim, silent, Babhuva, remains, Sadasi in the assembly. Sabya, everyone assembled there. Cha, and Tat Anuvrataha, follow Lord Shiva. Remain silent. Translation, Srila Shukadev Goswami continued, My dear King, after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality, whose knowledge is fathomless, simply smiled and remained silent, and all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything. Would you like to repeat?
Yes.
Srila Shukadev Goswami continued,
My dear King,
after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality, whose knowledge is fathomless, simply smiled and remained silent. And all the members of the assembly follow the Lord by not saying anything. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, however, has made the following observations. Lord Shiva, being the most exalted Vaishnava and one of the most powerful demigods, is able to do anything he desires. Although he was externally exhibiting the behavior of a common man and not following etiquette, such actions cannot diminish his exalted position. The difficulty is that a common man, seeing Lord Shiva's behavior, might follow his example. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:21, Yadyada charati shreshtas tattadevi tarojanaha sayat brahmanam kurute lokas tat anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. A common man might also criticize Lord Shiva, like Daksha, who suffered the consequences for his criticism. Kinshichaketu desired that Lord Shiva cease this external behavior so that others might be saved from criticizing him and thus become offenders. If one thinks that Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only perfect personality, whereas the demigods, even such demigods as Lord Shiva, are inclined to improper social affairs, he is an offender. Considering all this, King Chitraketu was somewhat harsh in his behavior with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, who is always deep in knowledge, could understand Chitraketu's purpose. And therefore, he was not at all angry. Rather, he simply smiled and remained silent. The members of the assembly surrounding Lord Shiva could also understand Chitraketu's purpose. Consequently, following the behavior of Lord Shiva, they did not protest. Instead, following their master, they remained silent. If the members of the assembly thought that Chitraketu had blasphemed Lord Shiva, they would certainly have left at once, blocking their ears with their hands. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanande Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virabhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sudato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarvaswapadamboja Radha Madana Mohana Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnangara Singhasanastav Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Preshtali Bhi Sevya Manusmarami Srimad Rasarasarambi Vam Shivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swanir Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavasyacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nishinga Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Ira Yada Hitarmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyaham Pritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharmasam Stapanartai Sambhavam Yuge Yuge Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Yukvaivam Atmanam Aparayanaha Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papepyo Mukshaishami Mashuchaha Shushusho Shudatanasya Vasudeva Katarachi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevana Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Kridyantaksto Hibhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsatam Nashta Prayeshu Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Paktir Bhavati Naishtaki Dada Rajastamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayaschaye Cheta Iter Anavitam Stitam Satve Prasidati Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavat Pakti Yogataha Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangas Sajayate Vidyate Hridaya Grantish Chichante Sarva Samshayaha Shiyante Chasya Karmani Drishta Evat Manishvare Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Shukuvacha Bhagavana Pitashutva Prahasya Gara Dhirnrapa Tushnim Babhuva Sarasi Sabyascha Tad Anuvrataha. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality, whose knowledge is fathomless, simply smiled and remained silent. And all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything. Hey, Prabhupada gives some relief in the first line of this purport by saying that this is very mysterious. Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. So there's a lot that happens in this instance with Chitraketu and Lord Shiva and Parvati and all the sages gathered together, but we'll try to take a few lessons from the text and the purport, something practical. One thing is that I noticed right away, there's a difference in motive being mentioned between Chitraketu and Daksha. When Daksha criticized Lord Shiva, he was full of envy. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, speaks about the envious heart. And he says that when people speak out of envy, when they have envy in their heart, It acts like a spear that can actually injure another, because sound carries consciousness. You may notice, if you have lived with anybody closely in an ashram, or been on traveling sankirtan, or have a spouse anywhere, you notice not so much what someone says, but the way they say it. In fact, sometimes people say, "I don't like the way you said that." it might have even been the right thing to say. But, I mean, even animals, if you say something derogatory about the animal, but you say it in a patronizing way, they may appreciate it. The tone of the voice is very important, and that comes from the state of one's heart. That's confirmed in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, with Prithu Maharaj, who mentions that when a pure devotee speaks, it's a vibration that touches Krishna's lotus feet, because his consciousness, her consciousness, fully absorbed in Krishna, and that vibration touches the lotus feet of Krishna, dislodges the saffron particles, saffron mercy particles, and the vibration made by a pure devotee, therefore, is mixed with saffron mercy particles, and therefore, he concludes, that when one hears that, one becomes changed in heart. The hearer becomes changed. The same token, it's mentioned by the Sanatana Goswami, that if one hears from a person who is contaminated with material desire or mayavad, which is extreme material desire, then it's as if one is drinking milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Even if a person's chanting the same mantra, speaking about the same subject matter, if the motive is different, first, sarpochistam payayata, that sarpochista, uchista means remnants, uchista, and sarpo means a snake. So if a little snake comes along and takes the milk and drinks it, you don't want to touch the milk after that, because, I mean, snakes are known to be full of poison, and the remnants are deleterious. So one has to be careful, discriminating, Sanatana Goswami and others have saying, who one listens to. And even in common law, the idea of intention is important. The intent behind one's speaking something makes a difference. I'm sorry? Avaishnava mukhanginam putam harikatam ritam. Shravanam. I'm sorry? Everyone's saying it at once. I can't hear. Shravanam naiva kartavyam. Sarpochisto payoyata. Thank you. We entered it into evidence today that this verse means what we just talked about. And intention also is important. For instance, in common law, when you accidentally kill somebody because you were cleaning your gun and it went off and went through the wall and shot somebody while they were having some soup, then it's not considered as severe as if in the heat of passion you pulled out your gun and shot him, and not as severe yet if you planned it ahead of time. They look on your email records and it looks like you were looking for some duct tape and following the person's route and you actually executed them premeditatedly. And then it's extremely severe. It's capital punishment for that. Interesting though, isn't it? That the intention and what one keeps in one's heart when one speaks has an effect on the environment. So in this assembly, when Chirchiketu spoke, it's being mentioned in this verse particularly, that Lord Shiva didn't take offense. First of all, Chirchiketu was a pure devotee, and Lord Shiva could understand that he's making a valid point. Yad yada charati shreshtas, although I'm the supreme controller, I'm not affected by this at all. Still, at the same time, others might see it and become affected. And then So that's one area to consider in this particular verse. And then there's a couple other lessons that I wanted to go into, but before I do, just considering this one section, we'd take some reflections. Anything that you heard or that struck you about this particular point? We have the microphone, it's ready to go. It's on a string. Go ahead, reflect.
Don't drink milk that has been crushed by a serpent.
Can you say more about that?
Well, it looks like milk. It may even taste like milk, but the effect will be different, will be contrary. So depending on the intent of the person who has touched that milk, you'll either get a beneficial or an adverse situation. Either we get nourished spiritually and purely, or we get actually poisoned, and we will suffer the dire consequences. But the milk goes the same.
We read last night in the Nectar of Instruction that if you eat food cooked by a materialist, then your consciousness will become wicked. And that's not a good thing. Wicked consciousness. So it's very subtle, this, the science of consciousness. Those whom we associate with, the remnants we take, the association is very powerful. Living entity is easily influenced. In fact, we've been going around saying recently, in the context of seminars about book distribution, that the Tathasta Jiva is open to suggestion. It's bouncing around the universe, and anything that he's influenced by can deeply affect him, because he's tiny and is affected. So in the science of Krishna consciousness, it's important to consider very carefully what will be the effect of my association, in fact, an environment, which means association. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked, what is a Vaishnava? He particularly said, satsanga tyaga vaishnavachar. He said, a Vaishnava is somebody who abandons bad association, just gives it up. What else? A-N-D. Can that be turned up a little? Is it a high-tech item that can be made louder? Scream.
Sound transmits consciousness.
It's profound and inconceivable how sound carries consciousness. Well, not only does sound carry consciousness, but more particularly language carries consciousness. In the, before the creation, there's language exists. And when the Lord speaks, then the creation takes place. And the combination of syllables makes a difference. For instance, when Rupa Goswami mentions is glorifying the holy name, he calls the holy name Paramakshara Krite, the supreme combination of syllables. And the Shastra is full of discriminating statements about the difference between material sound and spiritual sound. Anyareva hurasambhavad, anyarahurasambhavad, iti shushrumadhirana, yenas tadvich chakshire. One result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and another result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. Different kinds of vibration that one can make. And sound is the cause of all the elements in the material world as well. A little too much gain, I think. Sorry. You put this one down. Prabhupada writes about how every act of creation is preceded by act of speaking. For instance, he says in a purport regarding how the material world is created through sound vibration. He says in the material world, if you want to build a skyscraper building, first you conceive it in your mind and then you speak about it. And by the language, then gradually the paraphernalia becomes manifested. And he says similarly, if you make spiritual sound vibration, then all the paraphernalia necessary to advance in spiritual life becomes manifest in one's life. Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam priti purvakam dadami bhuti yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Krishna understands the intention and the purpose of the person, and those who come to the process of a spiritual discipline are very careful about what they say and how they say it. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchachiki Vidimira Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Upatayaiva Kalpate. They base everything that they say on Shruti Smriti Panchachiki Vidhi, etc. And of course, we know that the holy name, today we're beginning our celebration of the 30th anniversary of the 24-hour kirtan right here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, started by Sri Aindra Prabhu 30 years ago on this day. We're all here present for it. Gaur Premanande Haribo. That by vibrating the holy name, Aho Bhattashva Pachato Garyan Yajivagre Vartate Namatubhyam Tepus Tapaste Juhuvu Sasna Arya Brahmana Churnama Granantiete. Ete. Devahuti said, oh, how wonderful it is that even if someone can say Hare Krishna, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Even one time, even a little bit with the tip of one's tongue, that person should be considered to have performed all kinds of Vedic sacrifices and come to the holy places, and his prarabdha karma is purified because that person is said to be qualified to perform Vedic sacrifice. So the holy name, the utterance of the holy name is so powerful that when one hears it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when I hear someone say Hare Krishna, then I consider that person to be the best of all the general people. That actually says, Se Puja. I worship that person because they're able to say Hare Krishna. And we know from the Nectar of Instruction, Krishneti Yasya Giritam Marasa Driyeta Dikshasti Chet Pranati Bhishcha Bhajantam Isham Shushushraya Bhajana Vignamananyamanya Nindari Shunya Hridimipsita Sangalabhya. That we consider the gradations of advancement amongst devotees to be predicated on their chanting. First of all, if anyone says Hare Krishna, then you have to worship that person, respect them within your mind. And if they take initiation with a vow to chant Hare Krishna, then you should fall down on the ground when you see them to appreciate them. And if a person becomes utterly steady and advanced in the chanting of Hare Krishna and also Nindari Shunya, and we're going to get to this in a second, this idea of Nindari Shunya. Ninda means criticism, and that's in the context of this verse. If that person is devoid of the propensity to criticize others, then that person you should surrender to and give all your stuff to that person. Because a person who's pure like that can utilize it in Krishna's service. One more. Two more. Three more.
You talked about motive. Motives, but how do they say something? Their motives. And I like that because a lot of times I have to change my motive to be pure Krishna consciousness. So when I ask somebody something, is it for their spiritual benefit? So I like to say motive.
Yeah, motive's important, and we notice these things. It's just, even someone taught me if you're going to ask somebody a favor, like if you write a letter to somebody and you want to ask them for something, ask it in the first line of the letter. And afterwards, you can say nice things about them. Because if you say nice things first, and at the end you say, oh, by the way, can I borrow your madanga? They'll think, their motive was just to borrow the madanga. They didn't really mean the other stuff. But the motive becomes evident eventually. It comes out. And somebody who has a pure motive in speaking to us or giving to us, I mean, even Krishna, it says with his various devotees who are unmotivated, he said, I can't repay you. It's such an overwhelming force behind unmotivated speech and service.
In reference to the milk touched by the lips of the serpent, can you talk about, is there any need for us as devotees to discriminate? We're hearing how many people speak, we're hearing... believe kirtans and so on.
Can you talk about guidelines for discriminating? Do I need to worry who I'm hearing from?
Yes, and that was the whole point. And the gold standard is that the person who is speaking has the mood of surrender to Krishna. There are many Vaishnav qualities listed in the Shastra, but Rupa Goswami says the most important one is that the person is surrendered to Krishna. They're in the mood of, I'm a devotee of Krishna, I'm surrendered to Krishna. Even if they have other qualities that don't seem so savory, if they have that one quality, that I'm surrendered to Krishna. Now, for instance, we meet people all the time in the preaching field who indicate that Krishna consciousness is a process, and Krishna is a person. But to devotees, Krishna consciousness is the process, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing else, no one else. Ete chamsha kalapum sam Krishnas tu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam in... I'm sorry. It's one of those days. Indriyani mrige. Forget it. Okay. So, yeah, we're careful to understand what is the mindset and what is in the heart of the person. What is their lifestyle? Who are they connected to? How are they surrendered to Krishna? That's an important item. And therefore, in discrimination, we find plenty of fodder for discriminating. For instance, I mentioned Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. If a person can say Hare Krishna, it means they're not ordinary. But if their character isn't up to standard, in your mind you can offer obeisances, but it doesn't mean that you associate closely. And then the next level, if a person is surrendered, they've taken diksha, the verse says, that person under strict vow is following very carefully, then we become more demonstrative in our appreciation. And similarly, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam lists, Kavihavi Yogendra lists various gradations of devotees, like the Kanishta Adhikari, Acharya Meva Hariye, Pujam Yashareye Hate, Natad Bhakteshu Chanyeshu, Sabhakta Prakrita Smitaha. The lowest, the entry level devotee is one who appreciates the deity but doesn't know how to worship devotees and also doesn't know how to do good for others, to people in general. And then the Madhyamadhikari is mentioned as one who discriminates. Ishvare Taradineshu Balisheshu Dvisatsucha Prima Maitri Kripopeksha Yakroti Samadhyamaha. Madhyamadhikari is very discriminating and gives love for Krishna, makes appropriate friendships with the devotees, pours in as much mercy as possible to the innocent, and avoids the envious. And I read recently that applies even in the assemblage of devotees. Sometimes we may find, even in our own sangha, that sometimes we may detect that somebody's envious for some reason. Then you have the right to be upeksha, indifferent. You can avoid that person. So discrimination is the essence of our process. We're discriminating between the lower and higher energies. We're discriminating between those who are a little bit surrendered and those who are completely surrendered. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in listing the five most important items of devotional service out of 64, said, one should associate with like-minded devotees who are more advanced than oneself. As one of the five most important items for advancing in devotional service. Like-minded. And I heard recently something that stuck in my mind. It's, if you're the smartest one in the room, you're in the wrong room. Similarly, if you're the most advanced one in the room, you're in the wrong room too. Try to get in a room where somebody's more advanced than yourself. Something. Was there one more before I move on to the last point? Yes, Nagar Kirtan Prabhu. Here comes the mic. Maybe, if it can stretch that far.
agree that your punishment will be vastly different from somebody who had a different punishment.
Yeah, definitely. It's measurable. Or we try to measure these things and understand the intention. Yes. Thank you. So another point in this verse is about criticism in general. And when to criticize, when not to criticize. Of course, there are Vaishnavas like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami who just opted out of the criticism altogether. Because teachers can criticize. Mentioned in the austerities of speech in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that one should not try to instruct people who are not one's students. In other words, unless one signed up and said, "You please criticize me," then it's not your duty to go around picking out everybody and saying this, that, this, that. It won't be effective. At least I've seen that people don't appreciate it randomly. But they do when there's some agreement that, and that's what a guru-disciple relationship is. Okay, I'm agreeing to take shelter of you, you criticize me, you find out the fault. And the person signs up for it. It's a good relationship. Criticism works quite well there. But if it's random, it doesn't work so well. Now, in the realm of criticism, I read something very interesting in the 11th canto recently, in a commentary by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, where he mentions different levels of criticism. And he judges how advanced a devotee is according to their particular propensity to criticize or see the good qualities in others. So it goes like this. For the demoniac person, who's called the Pamara, low-class person, who finds faults practically everywhere. Even if there's good faults and bad faults, good qualities and bad qualities in a person, this person just sees the bad qualities. And then the next level of crippled-minded person is that a person has good qualities and bad qualities, but the low-class person only brings out the bad qualities. It only mentions those things, not the good. And then the topmost crippled-minded person, first-class rascal, a person has good qualities, bad qualities, but this rascal sees bad qualities even where there aren't any. Now, on the other side, the devotees, those who are pure-hearted, they see that everyone has good qualities, bad qualities, but they only consider the good qualities. They see people have good qualities, bad qualities, but they only bring out the good qualities. And the topmost is even a person doesn't have any good qualities, the devotee sees good qualities, even when there aren't any. And someone may say, how is that possible? And so there's an old saying that the most... Some people judge others by their past. They say, he did that in the past. I don't care what he's doing now. He can't come around. I don't want to see him. Other people say, it doesn't matter what they did in the past. Here's how they are now. So I appreciate what they're doing now. They got over it. And the topmost is someone who doesn't consider the past or the present, but sees the potential for the future. The devotees see that because they understand that behind the contamination, there's the potential living entity who's part and parcel of Krishna. That's really the missionary spirit. The devotees go everywhere and they try to fan the spark, even if it's barely visible. They see some good quality because they say, yeah, I know you're a living entity. You can do this. Here, take this. Listen to that. Come over here. They try to bring them along and bring them up to the highest level. So in general, the atmosphere of pure Vaishnavas is very encouraging. And even the criticism that comes out from a pure Vaishnava is not harmful as the criticism I mentioned earlier from Krishna speaking to Uddhava, like a spear when it has envy. And this comes out in an interesting commentary from the verse from the 11th canto. Evam vrata svapriya nama kirtya chitana rago chita chuta uchar hasatito rautiti rauti gayati unmaravam vritati lokabhayaha. This is a famous verse. It was spoken by Srila Ishvarapuri to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took initiation. And Mahaprabhu had taken initiation in the chanting of the holy name, and then he came back to his guru to verify. He said, I think maybe something's wrong, because I'm going crazy chanting this mantra. Is this okay? And then his spiritual master became very pleased and quoted this verse and said, this is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Evam vrata sva priyanama kirtya. When you take a vow to chant the holy name of the Lord, evam vrata sva priya, then the name, eventually it starts to become very dear to a person. And then druta chitta, the heart melts, becomes very soft. One begins to experience inner life, the highest pleasure, one's inner life with Krishna. It all happens by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Evam vrata sva priyanama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta uchar asatyato rotiti roti gayati. Then the person becomes like a madman and doesn't care for outsiders. Chants, dance, rolls on the ground and perspires, cries, shouts out at the wrong time. And he doesn't care because he's absorbed in inner life with Krishna. So in the commentary, which I'm glad I brought up, because today is the appearance day of Srila Madhvacharya, is that correct? And in this verse, there's a commentary by Madhvacharya, and he says that not all advanced Vaishnavas show any external symptoms. They may withhold them. They may not show crying, dancing, falling on the ground, and so forth. But he said all advanced Vaishnavas show two symptoms. One is steadiness. They always show up for their service. They're always enthusiastic to hear about Krishna. Constancy in their service. And the second is called Mukhya Prasadad, which means that their speech is merciful. It's like Mukhya Prasadad. It's like prasad's coming out of their mouth. Whatever they speak is actually beneficial for everyone, even if it's chastisement. And I heard recently the exalted pundit, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Pradyumna Prabhu, had said that we actually make advancement in spiritual life by friction with taking the heat from sadhus. So when they speak, a pure-hearted person speaks, even if it may seem like harsh criticism, it wakes you up and go, oh, right, I'm a fool. I really am an idiot. And I really do need to get serious. There's a positive reaction from that criticism that comes. So it is a deep consideration given by the Shastra. Rupa Goswami mentions it as the primary qualification for one who is on the topmost platform, Nindari Shunya, free from the propensity to criticize others out of a sense of false ego. That means envy is in the heart, and envy defined by Srila Jiva Goswami is the inability to tolerate the eminence of another. Should I say it again? The inability to tolerate the eminence of another. At least you have to tolerate it. If you see someone with great qualities, the residual envy within one's heart may dictate that, say something to disparage others from glorifying this person, or at least give some damnation by faint praise, by saying, well, yeah, they're pretty good, but, you know, I saw them before, and you should have seen what they did last time. Wasn't that great? I mean, there's a lot of ways that I can bring somebody down, and I must examine, why am I doing that? And so, a person who... I was going to say, at least you have to tolerate the eminence of others. That's the first stage, tolerate it. And the second stage is to learn to appreciate the eminence of other devotees, especially. And the third stage is really to glorify. And Queen Kunti says, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. Grinanti means, in the context of the verse translated by Prabhupada, that if you appreciate the service of others, then you also advance in devotional service. You can sit there in the corner and just watch the devotees and appreciate them and make advancement yourself. On the other hand, if I have a critical eye and I can't tolerate the good qualities of other devotees, then I become immune. I won't be able to absorb them myself. So it's a great culture of appreciation in devotional service. And criticism should be carefully administered. That's another lesson in this whole section, is be careful how you aim, how and where you aim your criticism. Now we'll take a last couple of reflections. Anything you heard overall that stuck in your mind? Yes. Oh, that was instructive. Did you all hear that?
No.
He said that he mentioned that sometimes when people left the association of devotees during Prabhupada's time and devotees brought it to Prabhupada's attention, Prabhupada would say something like, well, at least they're not eating meat. And then when the devotees heard this leniency, then they became encouraged and they came back. So yeah, making room for devotees to continue the process of devotional service by administering the right kind of criticism and attitude and so forth is vitally important. Yeah.
One thing I heard from Narayani Mataji that one person now is a devotee in Sweden and he died when he was not a devotee. And he went to Yamaraj and Yamaraj said, did he do anything good? And they said, nothing good, but one time he just waved hands.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just to say also, now that the bell is ringing, that this 24-hour kirtan going on in this one place has a reverberating effect all over the world. The sound vibration goes out from here and it goes around and around on the planet. And just knowing that this is taking place here, that this holy name is going on with a firm vow that it won't stop at any time, enlivens the whole world. So this is a great cause for celebration, and it's also a good lesson, because no matter where we are in our ability to move forward in devotional service and wherever we're situated, we may not be in the Dham, we may be in some faraway place. If we make this firm vow to keep the vibration going wherever we're situated, then everything necessary will manifest in our life. Ananyas chintayantomam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabdyuktanam yoga kshemaham bahamyaham. That Krishna carries what one lacks and preserves what one has. If one simply absorbs one's full consciousness in this Harinam Sankirtan and devotional service. So Aindra Prabhu came here with such an idea. One person, one idea, with the highest spiritual ideal can change the whole world, one person. We see how Srila Prabhupada did it. We see how Aindra Prabhu, when he came here with this vrat and this intention in his heart that I'm going to sit down here, I won't move, and I'll chant Hare Krishna. And then everything came, all the energies. Of course, there were a lot of lean times, I'm sure. There's some struggles and so forth. But when a person makes this vow to go on with the vibration of the holy name, come what may, then Krishna moves heaven and earth and makes things happen. In a parallel way, Prabhupada sat under a tree in Thompson Square Park. That tree is still there. And he just chanted Hare Krishna. And Krishna manifests all the paraphernalia needed to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So we can take this day as an important time to renew our vow, to keep the vibration of the holy name going, and to glorify the devotees who are fully dedicated to that vibration. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Vansha kalpadurvishcha kripa sannibheva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha gopremanande. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo.